This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings here with Baby Lucas from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 2nd, episode 883, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. Well, Jamie, we did not get to spend April Fool's Day together this year on the show.
Thank God.
I know it's not your favorite thing. I know it's not your favorite. Now it comes from all those years of being in radio and doing really stupid things for April Fool's Day.
Really, really but, stupid things that you were like, seriously, are you doing that really? Okay, but carry on. Sorry.
I got a good one, though, yesterday. I was watching everybody to see who did anything in the horse world. And, of course, we have to give a little shout-out to Horse Nation for including us in their April Fool's Day yesterday.
That was awesome.
Horses in Mourning. But anyway, the one I think that won the award yesterday was Mary Kitzmiller. And we know Mary Kitzmiller. She's a Road to the Horse wildcard competitor. We've been following her for a year. She was the only female to compete at Road to the Horse, and she's doing it again next year. And she's a classy lady. I like her a lot. I like following her on Facebook. She's one of my favorite people to follow on Facebook. And she just has a lot of class. Well, yesterday she posted that she got a call and that she was going to be the rookie competitor in season 2 of Rodeo Girls. And you should have seen the reaction to that, because it was so out of character for her. And the reaction was, it just started this firestorm of people saying, oh, that show really sucked. That was an awful show. Hated that show. And then other people saying, Mary, you're going to bring so much to that show. I love that show. It just went on and on and on.
Oh, my gosh.
It went on and on.
That's
and on.
Awesome.
There were like 200 people that liked it. And, I was going, okay. And then a couple people said, this has to be an April Fool's joke because you'd never do that. But she never gave it away until the end of the day when she posted it was an April Fool's joke. So, Mary, you get my applause for bringing one that could have almost been true. See, that's what makes a good April Fool's joke.
Yeah. Well, now, did you tell Jennifer, oh, my gosh, you have to book Mary Kitzmiller because she's going to be on Rodeo Girls. Did you fall for it? Jennifer, did he fall
no,
for
I,
it?
No, I told Jennifer, but I didn't fall for it, did I? I said, I think that's April Fool's joke because I didn't see her
but
do
you
it.
But you were not sure. You're going, I'm pretty sure it's an April Fool's joke.
But if not, book her. Got to get her on the show.
I just couldn't see her doing it. She just didn't fit, It just didn't fit. I couldn't see her putting herself out there. She's very classy, and I just couldn't see her doing it. But anyway, Mary, you get my applause for the best one I saw yesterday. Hey, I also wanted to tell you, Jamie, that I have good news for you. On Friday, I won't be here on Friday. I have a special assignment I'm going on. But help is on the way for Effing Frank. Because we have Arden Moore of the Positive Coach. Her website's fourleggedlife.com. She also does a show on helping out your pets and things like that. She is going
to
get up early.
Does she take in homeless cats? Because that's what I've got for her.
She's getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to join us here because she lives on the West Coast too. that she said for you she would do that, and she went back and listened to your thing on Monday about effing Frank, which is Jamie's cat, by the way. It's not her husband. So she took a listen to that, and she will be ready to help you on Friday with your situation.
Okay, good. Okay, good. I need all the help I can get with effing Frank.
Well, and I'm assuming that's still a problem. So.
Yeah. My baby helps me sleep more than my cat, so that you know you have a problem.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you know we should have him read the questions for the game today. Baby Luke. He can read the questions.
You should have. Oh, yeah, sure. That'll happen. He can't. By God, he can't say mama, but he'll read a question for you.
Is he saying daddy yet?
Oh, my God, all the time. He says, dad, 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 and I'll go, Lucas, mama, and he'll look at me right in the eyes and go, dad, dad. Like, seriously? I'm like, I'm the one who does everything for you. And I'm like, mama, and he's like, dad, dad, mama, dad, dad, mama, dad, dad. And every time he says dad, dad, no matter where Chad is, he's like, yes, son. Like, he's talking to him. Yes, son, how can I help you? Ridiculous. This whole mom thing is crap.
Jennifer, but what's coming up in today's show?
Just to let you guys know, my husband is currently out of town. So I am the, I do everything right now. So even more so, I'm doing everything now. So I am on baby patrol. He is currently in my lap right now playing. It's super mom that I am. I've given him a cord to play with. So,
you know, a bag of chips would be good. I heard that's a good one. You ought to get him a bag of chips.
I'll get him a bag of Lay's.
Jennifer,
great idea.
What's coming up?
On today's We Can't Get Enough Potato Chips to Keep Lucas Happy Wednesday edition, we'll take a look at the headlines via the velvet voice of Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer. Centering the show, Quincy the Horse Books author Camille Matthews stops by for a chat about new adventures for her and the title character of her books. And playing out our round trip through the equine universe, the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge gives your gray matter and your smile muscles a workout with contestant Mary Lynn and our celebrity this week from EquityMFG.com, Joseph Berto. So stay tuned for the phrase.
Perfect.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. I have an unusual daily winning. I have an unusual daily Winnie for you today, and I'll tell you what I found interesting about this story. Jamie and I and Jennifer have loved to talk about lottery stories over who doesn't like to dream about winning the lottery and talk about lottery stories? And you know, there's been so many lottery stories over the past 3 years we've been doing this show that have been people that you know are going to be through the $200 million in about 6 months and be declaring bankruptcy. And that unfortunately does happen a lot. Well, I don't think that's going to happen for senior citizen Raymond Buxton. He showed up at the California Lottery headquarters to claim his Powerball jackpot of $425 million. That was from February, if I remember right. And he was wearing a T-shirt that read "Luck of the Jedi, I have." I guess so. I wonder he had owned that T-shirt first or bought it after. But this is what I think is different about Raymond, is that he waited so long to come claim the prize because he was meeting with lawyers and financial advisors. He has already established bank accounts, and they have set up a charity. His life's mission now, because he is a senior, so his life's mission now, he said, is he set up a charity to help children in all kinds of ways, but to basically help child hunger and education and pediatric health.
Aww.
And he is going to administer the charity, and he apparently has gotten a lot of professionals involved in helping him make sure he doesn't squander the lump sum check he ended up receiving of $242 million. So good for him.
Wow. And I love his quote. I was reading your story, and it says, I would like to, his short-term goals are to spend time with family and friends, start a charity, and this is where the typical lottery winner does not use words like this. I would like to consult with professionals on how to pragmatically utilize this windfall. Well, your normal everyday lottery winner does not use words like pragmatically.
No.
So I think he's going to be okay.
I think he will, too. He's probably going to do better than that guy in West Virginia. If you remember that guy that won the big one in West Virginia and then was spending it all at strip clubs. I don't see this guy doing that. I think it will be fine.
There was a chick who won the lottery in Georgia, and I happened to drive by her house on the way to, I think, her boyfriend's house at that point. And every day you would go by, you would see some new toy in her yard, and I mean, she bought this huge house, and all of a sudden you drive by and you see a yacht, you know, or like 16 four-wheelers, and then you just realize that all of a sudden, like, as you drive by, there was nothing there anymore. Like, oh, yeah, you got in trouble. You bought too much.
It happens, but I think Raymond Buxton, he's going to be in good shape, and good luck helping the kids, Raymond. All right, your turn.
Well, I come to you with some crow to eat. And I don't know how to say this, but my daily whinny goes to a TV show. You already mentioned Rodeo Girls. It is not Rodeo Girls. It is a TV show called Horse Players. And if you recall, I talked about Horse Players and the fact that they were showing an episode of the Breeders' Cup where Mucho Macho Man lost in a stretch run to Fort Larned. And silly me, Fort Larned and Mucho Macho Man ran last year, and I guess 2 years ago now, in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and that was the episode they were showing. So I was wrong, and I am a total humongous Horse Player television show addict. I DVR'd all of them, and I watched the most recent one last night. I am learning about betting. When we go to Kentucky, better watch out, because Mama is going to be playing some long shots, because you learn that you can't win by picking the favorites, Glenn, or win by picking the names. This show is addicting. I love all the people on it. I'm going to look for them where I'm at, Keeneland, even though they're at every track in the world. But I love this show. They just played the Mucho Macho Man winning the Breeders' Cup Classic episode yesterday, and it was awesome. And not one of these jerk faces picked Mucho Macho Man to win, and I loved watching all of them lose their money because they didn't pick our boy. They didn't even have him in their trifectas, okay? Seriously. I am a horse player addict, so there you go. Word up, horse players. I was wrong.
We're going to head over with you on Friday of Rolex to Keeneland. It's been a while since we've done that. We'll definitely have to do that. We'll have to head over to
Keeneland,
too.
Well, Glenn, you have two choices. You can sit there and watch dressage for a second day, or you can go with me to the track. So,
all right, we're going
decision.
With you to the track. I think we're going
That's
to the track.
That's the way I go. That's the way I go. I'm like, I can't watch this again.
I don't think Jennifer's going to argue with that either. We'll be fine. We're going to the track.
Love Rolex.
Yeah, you know.
Love Rolex.
It's been a while since we've... the one thing I don't like about Keeneland is the crowds. It's just so crowded. But it's crowded at Rolex, too. And I can watch horse racing as opposed to dressage. I'm in.
Start saving your dollars, Glenn. Start looking through the couch cushions.
Lose our money together.
Exactly.
Lose our money together. Hey, one thing before we get to Victoria from Horse and Country TV is that Wellington withdrew from the bid 2018 World Equestrian Games yesterday.
Wow.
So we've got two left in the running. We got Bromont in Montreal, Canada, which I think still has a shot at this, or we have Lexington, Kentucky. So those two are the only two in the running. What's going to happen now is that the FEI's Evaluation Commission will meet with the candidates, and they'll present their final bids to the commission in June of 2014. And apparently after that meeting, the winner for the games will be announced. So we could be going back to Lexington in 2018 or to Canada, either one I'm good with. I can go to
North
Canada.
America. We're there.
Yeah, we're there. Yep. All right, very good. Let me see here. I have this.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And we welcome to the show Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
Well, as thrilled as I always am to talk to you, it is with a heavy heart that we discuss the first story that is obviously the only thing I think Avengers are talking about, and that is, please tell everybody the sad news.
Well, it's Lucinda Fredericks, great mare Hedley Britannia, has been put down at the age of 21, so a massive loss to the eventing world. I think she's probably the best mare of all time.
Yeah, without a doubt. He thinks so, too. For those who don't know, she won Rolex several years ago with this mare. And what really inspired me was, you know, they all do the victory gallop and they fist pump after winning. And they're like, yeah, I'm so awesome, which, you know, that's what I would do. I'm so awesome. And Lucinda Fredericks, the entire way around, pointed to her horse. I have goosebumps even remembering that moment because it was just absolutely very touching, and I became such a fan of the Fredericks, and obviously Clayton, now where he is, you know, he's a coach for the Canadian team, but he's also, I mean, I have their saddle. I love that family of eventers, and the sad news that this mare was put down. Now, they haven't released, or have they now released, the cause of her death?
Well, she was cross-country schooling, and I think she broke a bone in her foot, and so they decided to make the decision there. It wasn't very clear in the official announcement, but we've found a further detail since then. So in some ways it's a shame, and I think a couple of people have questioned why she was still out cross-country schooling at the age of 21, having earned her retirement, but I have to say, you know, if there's a horse that can win not just one four-star, but three of the world's biggest four-star events, you know, this mare could jump anything. She's probably was popping around 90 centimetres or a metre, which, you know, is so easy for a mare of her ability and quality. So I think she was having fun in her retirement, and it's always really sad to see a top horse go, but in a way she went doing what she loved, and she wouldn't have known any different.
Yeah, and what I recall is that the mare, even they had taken six embryos out of her, so there's probably six foals coming up through the ranks that are her children, I guess, but she was the Frederick's daughter's mount at this point. And I'm sorry, if you have a mare like Hedley Britannia, you are going to pass her on through the family. And at 21
exactly.
years old, how many of us haven't seen 21-year-olds out on course? So the fact that anybody would say anything negative about that it's heartbreaking, because, I'm sorry, you would let your daughter ride her.
Exactly. And I think it was people that was riding her at the time, so it must be quite tough for her. But her Lucinda's little girl Ellie did ride her, and I saw some great pictures yesterday of her Hedley Britannia jumping this huge fence with this tiny little girl on top of her, and it's just such an amazing introduction to eventing, to go on a horse, and to also, you know, Lucinda adores her daughter, and they're so close now, and especially that, you know, it's her and Ellie that are at home in England, and Clayton's gone off and set up on his own over there, and so, you know, they're so close, and there's no way Lucinda would have let her prize mare go off with her beloved daughter if she just didn't know that they were both going to come back in one piece together. It's a really sad story, but she had a great career, and she'll be remembered for all time, and I think from eventing and from the horse world in general, she was really loved.
Absolutely. So tough story. And, you know, they, again, like you said, they made the decision to euthanize her, and I'm sure it was a heart-wrenching decision and one that they would not have made lightly. So very sad for them. Now, the other thing we have to talk to you about is a race that kind of was off the radar here in the States because there was no American horse. I think for the first time ever, there was no American horse in the Dubai World Cup.
Yes, well, there's quite a lot of controversy because they've decided that the Dubai World Cup shouldn't be run on this surface that they call taffeta. We don't have taffeta over in the UK, but I obviously didn't put off our horses because we had Mukadram finishing second and Red Cadeau finishing fourth again. He's had quite a remarkable record in Dubai. But last year we did have Animal Kingdom, who's trained in the USA, and he won, but this year, none of the Americans wanted to go, and it was all the foreign winners, mostly Japanese horses, that dominated on Saturday night.
Well, and the $10 million race, the Dubai World Cup on Saturday, which is also the biggest purse in the entire world, was actually, if I'm not incorrect here, was owned by the ruler of Dubai.
Yes, indeed. It is always quite useful when you're the one, you know, putting up the prize money. It's quite useful if you then win it. So that's good.
Like, how tax-wise do you think that works? Like, do I claim that, or do I just say it's not a loss? Like, how does that work? I'm sure that Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, which just rolls off the tongue, was just pretty, I'm sure he's very concerned about tax laws in Dubai, and that he's very thrilled that he doesn't have to claim that on his, you know, whatever you call it, I don't even know, NW30.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's given him, in one way or another, he's got a few extra million spare to go and buy some more top-class horses, so or breed
some
more. So, yeah, I think he'd won the race multiple times as well. Is in Sheikh Mohammed. So we will see. I'm sure he'll be back again next year with another handful of contenders.
Yeah, I'm sure. No problem there. And I guess, you know, the only horse was one we just talked about, Mucho Macho Man, was the only one I think was being talked about taking over there, and they decided to take him, obviously, to the Santa Anita Big Cap, and where he did not win. But it doesn't matter, because congratulations to the connections of the ruler of Dubai. Like, they need any more congratulations for being themselves. So good news and sad news, and I don't know what else to even go over with you, because those are kind of the big stories right now.
Yes, indeed they are, and you know, it's been a bad week for eventing in general, because we also have waved farewell to one of our other favourite horses, Opposition Buzz, who was on the Olympic team for Britain at London 2012, and he's just brilliant. There's a picture of him on our website jumping this huge big spread at Badminton, and he just flew over it with about 2 feet to spare, and he's been stepped down from four-star level. So it is a bit of an end of an era with him retiring and losing Headley Britannia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which horse was he?
Nicola Wilson. And he was a real team stalwart. He did Europeans, he did World Equestrian Games, he was over in Kentucky, and he's just seemed such a brilliant horse for our team. So really sad not to be watching him go out round Badminton in a few weeks' time.
You know, absolutely. What, though, as we discussed yesterday, your show jumping team has made up for it and has taken a large sum of money out of the United States to bring back to England. So,
indeed, yes. We got bored of Ben Mayer winning everything, so we thought we'd let the world number one have a go. So he won the big class, which is great. And I'm sure I've told you before, but Scott Brash is from, he grew up about 10 miles from where I grew up in Scotland. So it's a real local boy made good story. I'm very proud
of him. I think his total winnings, we learned yesterday, were around 300,000 here. So for the season. So yeah,
nice.
He's coming home. He can pay some bills. And if you want to go out with him, I'd give him a call right now. He's got money. So.
I don't think my other half would be that grateful. And he's probably about 10 years younger than me. So I think that wouldn't be a good idea.
Glenn, you are always trying to get her off to some other dude. I mean, seriously, her boyfriend is going to kick your butt.
Now, are you coming over for Rolex?
I wish I was, but no, heading over to Kentucky is on my bucket list, but still haven't made it yet. I want to come over and watch the event and maybe, you know, just stay for all the racing as well. Maybe I should just come for 6 months or something.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah, we'd love to have you over here. That'd be terrific.
Oh,
you can bring the boyfriend along, too. He can kick my butt. We can get that over with. And then we'll
so. I think he'd prefer going to the Derby rather than watching the eventing. I could probably persuade him.
You know, they're a week apart, so you can accomplish both.
Oh, really? That is definitely makes it more tempting. One year.
Yeah, you can accomplish both. You can go to Keeneland. You can go over to Churchill Downs the next week and see the Kentucky Derby. You'll be in good shape.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. Well, we'll look for you. Okay.
Well, Victoria, as always, thank you. Yes, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us about what's going on. We love connecting with our friends across our English-speaking friends across the pond. So we really do appreciate it and hope everything is going well.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week.
Speak to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Victoria. All right, we are going to be going to another guest here very shortly. And I am, I got to find something here. Sorry about that, Jamie. We're going to hear from Back on Track Products, who is our title sponsor for today's show. And then we're going to be going to our next guest, who's also going to be at Rolex. And we're looking forward to hearing from her. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track Products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com. Well, thank you to Back on Track Products. They are always at Rolex, so if you're heading over there, you'll see them there as well. Bo is usually floating around, and he is certainly the one to ask about any questions you have when it comes to therapeutic products like Back on Track. We are coming up next with our next guest, who is who we have to thank for being a sponsor of our Rolex coverage, and also is going to be there in a little different capacity than some of our other sponsors, and we're glad to have her on the show this morning, Camille Matthews. Good morning, Camille.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Now, and I just noticed, and I don't think I noticed this before, that you live in Reading, Pennsylvania, and we, you know, I grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, so
Well, you now live in Lexington, and that's where I grew up, so.
Actually, we live in Ocala. Live in Lexington.
Yeah.
Now, actually, we did, when we owned our acting company, we did hundreds of shows at the Stokesay Castle in Reading.
Oh, okay.
Which is up on top of the hill, the restaurant up on top of the hill there behind a pagoda.
Right. Well, we have a farm, Pathfinder Farm, north of Reading near Burnville.
Well, yeah, you're not too far from there then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, now, Camille is an author. She does Quincy the Horse books. And first, we want to thank you for becoming a sponsor of our coverage of Rolex. And you're going to be there as well. Tell us about that.
Okay. Yes, I love to come down to the horse park for events, and we're coming down for the Rolex. And we're going to be at the I Make Horse Calls booth. And I'll be there throughout the show personally autographing all the Quincy the Horse books.
And for those that haven't heard about Quincy the Horse books, can you tell us about them, how they came to be and what they are?
Sure. Quincy the Horse books are a set of children's books for kindergarten through fourth grade and horse lovers of any age. So they're all about horses and kids, and how can you go wrong with that combination? The first book is called Quincy Finds a New Home, and that's a story of Quincy finding a new home, which happens to be a horse show barn, but he doesn't know how to jump jumps and win ribbons. So he has a scary little secret, and he's afraid that someone will ask him to jump a jump and find out that he doesn't know how. But as the story goes along, he discovers that making a good new friend is really the most important thing in helping him feel safe in the new home. The second book is called Quincy Moves to the Desert, and in that book, he and his best friend, Bo, go across the country on a horse van all the way from New York to New Mexico. And along the way, with Bo as a good tour guide and mentor, Quincy learns that horses are everywhere, to his amazement, and then he learns all the things that horses do in different places, and he starts to dream about his own possibilities. Our new book, Quincy and Buck, was just released in March, and we're really excited about that. This one is a little more complicated. Quincy finds out that life doesn't always behave like you think it will. He wants to learn to trail ride in the desert, but he's afraid he's going to meet wild animals. And so with Bo as his mentor,
me too.
he learns that he should get behind an experienced horse, but when he gets out on the first trail ride and chooses his trail buddy, that buddy turns out to be a bully, and he doesn't want anything to do with Quincy. So the series kind of, as you can see, the series grows with the kids. It starts out with scenes that are a little more simple, and then life gets complicated as they go along.
Is there a Quincy?
There's a real Quincy. He actually inspired the stories. He's now he's a 24-year-old quarter. He's a quarter horse, American quarter horse, and these stories were based on things that really happened when I first bought him when he was about seven. And Quincy is, as he really is in the books, he was always a guy that had a lot of talent, but he was really a worrier, and he wasn't always doing great in a brand-new situation. I actually got the idea for doing this set of books when back in about 2002, I took a training in how to become an equine-assisted psychotherapist and growth and learning specialist. And horse therapy works by having the client observe and empathize with horses. And I got this idea that writing a set of children's books based on Quincy's adventures would really fit in with the challenges that kids face, you know, like being new and different and the new kid on the block, or you know, going on a big trip and out into the world and kind of learning that there are all these things that you didn't know, and also, you know, going out and confronting a bully for the first time. So that's a little bit about how they all came about.
And I was just looking on Amazon. They have a 5-star rating on Amazon. I was looking at some of the reviews on Quincy Finds a New Home. And I have to read the one here. I bought this book as a birthday gift for my friend's little girl who just turned 7. She loves everything about horses and was so excited when she opened her present. She has read the book at least a dozen times already. It is well written and the illustrations are beautiful. That pretty much describes the rest of the reviews. So you've obviously hit a nerve there.
Well, everything about horse life in the books is completely authentic. Let me tell you just a tiny bit about the illustrations, because they're just amazing, and I can say that, of course, because I'm the writer, but our illustrator is a painter who I met out in New Mexico named Michelle Black. And, I grew up in Lexington, and so I grew up with all the paintings of the Thoroughbred Champions, and that was my vision. And so I really wanted the books to have that classic style, and Michelle did an amazing job. And she also is a lifelong horse person and a dressage trainer. So it was really important to us to have all the details of horse life be really authentic. And, you know, we found that that works. And the books are great. They're great for kids that have, you know, been raised with horses and they love them, kids that are just getting started with riding lessons, and also kids that, you know, aren't going to have the option of having a horse. They enjoy them. So one of the things we say is, you know, if your child wants a horse, start them with the Quincy books first.
It's cheaper, too.
Right, exactly.
Well, this is great. Yeah. Where can people buy them online?
Well,
I'm looking at Amazon here, but I know you have
right.
a website,
well,
too.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say is we're really excited because technology has now gotten advanced enough that children's books with all the illustrations are now, you know, much more possible to put into e-books. So we have our series is a classic keepsake style of hardcover books, but we've just now released the entire series in e-books. So they're available on our website as the classic keepsake books, which is quincythehorse.com. They're available, and then they're available at Amazon and, you know, Barnes and Noble and Indie Kobo, Indie Reader, and all bricks and mortar bookstores, and they're in public libraries.
You know,
and
I'm
you,
looking
course,
at this,
gonna,
and it doesn't, Glenda, you don't have to be a little girl to like these books. I mean, I'm 36 years old. My God, I love still reading horse books for kids. Like, that childhood yearning and desire to read every horse book that you can possibly find doesn't go away. And I'm looking at these, and you're right, the illustrations are amazing. The way it's written is great. I'm going to get them for this little man right here. So there you go.
Well, great. Well, when, you know, we really, the guy, the little guys seem to love them too. So it's lots of fun.
Well, we're also, repeat where you're going to be at Rolex for the, we have a lot of listeners that are going to be there.
Right.
So repeat
be,
where you're going to be again.
The Quincy the Horse books will be in the I Make Horse Calls booth, which is in the center part of the covered arena.
Okay, so you'll not be too far from where we're going to be doing our show, actually. We'll be doing
right.
that in the covered arena as well. So
right, are you all getting excited about Rolex?
Oh, yeah, we're very excited. We're always excited to go to Rolex. It's always a lot of fun. And we were just at Jennifer, you were taking Camille's call there, but we're going to head over to Keeneland on Friday afternoon with Jamie and skip the second day of dressage. Do you have any problems with that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if Jennifer's there. I think we lost her. But anyway.
Oh, you were talking to me.
Yes, I said, you don't have any problems with that, do you, that we're going to skip out on the second day of dressage and go to Keeneland? You don't have a problem, do you?
I that could be an opportunity for me to do some No Glenn shopping.
Love that. Jennifer,
yeah,
don't worry,
go ahead.
Honey. We'll get our shopping done. Don't you worry, honey. We'll shop.
Do you know
we'll
what that means,
Friday.
Though? Camille, that means that Jennifer is letting me go with Jamie to Keeneland by ourselves, and we both like to place a little wager or two.
Well,
so,
that's the great thing about having them come at the same time.
That's right. True. Well, thank you, Camille. We look forward to seeing you at Rolex, and good luck.
That sounds great. Well, thanks a lot for having me and Quincy.
All right.
Have care. A great day. Well, bye-bye.
So, yes, Jennifer, you're going to have to put up with me going gambling with Jamie. So.
Now, Jennifer, just I know what's going to happen.
Jennifer, let me just give you a little bit of a timeline here. Is our show on the East Coast is 9 to 10:30, correct? So
post
time for the first race is not until 1 o'clock. So we have plenty of time to peruse the shops. I mean, come on, I'm in, I'm going, I'm shopping.
Shopping.
There you go.
I'm printing out my UPS Send It Home stickers right now.
And while we're talking about that, I just wanted to remind everybody, and I've started to hear from people now that are going to be meeting us at the first jump on. We're doing a Horse Radio Network meetup, At the first jump of cross country, a half an hour before cross country starts on Saturday, we'll meet everybody there and we'll walk a couple jumps and then everybody can go off to do their thing. But we thought it would be kind of fun to see a couple jumps with everybody. And I've started to hear from people who are going to be meeting us there, so we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That should be awesome. Don't make us the guys standing around going, "Where's everybody? Come on, people. Show up and meet us. Don't make me walk in with just Glenn. I mean, please."
And you know what I'm doing? I'm having a sign made. You know how those you get off the airplane at the airport and somebody's got a stick, and at the end of the stick is this sign that says, Quincy family? Well, I'm having
a sign made
that you can carry around right there so everybody knows where we are.
That'll be great that you can carry that around. Awesome. I love that idea.
You can have baby Luke carry it around there. It'll be so cute. It'll be perfect.
We'll attach it to the stroller. Sounds good.
Oh, you're going to be a stroller person for the first time at Rolex.
I know. I'm going to be that guy. And you know what I'm not going to do, which I see a lot of people with strollers doing, is have 15 freaking Jack Russells tied to the front of it. That's not going to happen.
Pulling it along. Let's take a break for Equestrian Collections, and then our song of the day is Lesson in There Somewhere by Templeton Thompson, and we're going to come back and play the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge with Joseph Berto today. And I would play the Equestrian Collections commercial, except I can't find it. Here we go. Hi, Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week, I'm going to be featuring the MDC Super Sports Stirrup. They actually come in two styles, but basically the thing that sets these apart are the footbed. A lot of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with the MDC stirrup line because they're really top-of-the-line stirrups. They're the ones that have the little turny thing at the top where you can put your feet at any angle for comfort and to make your feet more correct in the stirrup. But this new one has a very wide base with non-stick aluminum padding. That base is about 2.5 to 3 inches wide. And when you put your foot in that stirrup, you are secure. Your foot doesn't slip. You really feel secure. It's great for fox hunters. Particularly, we were thinking fox hunters would love these because there's lots of good stability. And also, they come in with a flex side, the flexible hinge, which you can move your foot back and forth and you can feel that. Or they come in the more traditional one without that flexible hinge for those who want a more traditional look, like in the show ring. But if you're the jumpers, the fox hunters, anybody, beginners, anybody that wants a really solid feel should get these stirrups. We've had trainers that got on my friend's horse who has this stirrup, and she said, "Oh, my God, where did you get these?" Because they feel so good. Now, they're not inexpensive. The ones with the flexible hinges are $200, $199.95. So they are for the serious rider, but I highly recommend them. Really, the minute you put your foot in them, you're going to feel completely different and a lot more secure.
Well, and the other thing about MDC is it's top quality stuff. This is the good stuff. This is made to last, and it will last. Yeah, I highly recommend it. Anybody that even also has any kind of knee or leg issues, they'll find that these will help alleviate some of that as well. And, of course, this is the MDC Super Sport Stirrups and MDC other stirrups on there as well at EquestrianCollections.com. Just search for MD as in dog, C as in Charlie.
And I also want to mention trail riders. They are great for riding on hilly trails, too, for that secure feel.
Especially with the wider foot base, that would be
exactly.
That would be good.
Thanks,
MDC Glenn. Super Sport Stirrups at EquestrianCollections.com.
Climbed on back of that wild-eyed Palomino. I was fearless, I was foolish, I was gonna be the one to settle in down. Yeah, yeah. It's been hard.
That was Templeton Thompson with Lesson in There Somewhere. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by Back on Track Products at backontrackproducts.com. Well, Jamie, we're going to be getting to our game here in a little while, but first I have some TV. You were talking about TV a little earlier. I have some TV news for you, for all of you TV watchers out there. A couple things coming up today, actually. CNBC investigative program called American Greed will be airing an hour-long television special on Rita Crundwell. Do you remember her?
She's the one who... Which horrible person was she?
She was the one that stole $53 million from the little town of Dixon, Illinois, to fund her quarter horse breeding empire. And they're going to do a whole hour on her and talk about how she accomplished what she accomplished over that period of time. So that'll be on CNBC, and it's tonight, actually. It's an hour-long special tonight on that. You have to check the time. I don't know the time, so you have to check that. Then also on RFD TV today, they are doing, starting on Equestrian Nation, a three-part series on Buck Brannaman. So Buck is going to be the highlight of a three-part series. They're going to go through his life and a little bit about the movie and all of the things that he has done. So you don't want to miss that on RFD TV. I wish, like heck, that we got either RFD or HRTV, one of them. But no,
okay, we get RFD, but the problem with RFD, and again, I love it when they play horse stuff, is that they don't always play horse stuff. Every time it seems I turn on... Here, eat that. Every time I turn on RFD, I swear it's like some sort of show about trains. Or it'll be a show about it'll be a cattle auction. They have cattle auctions on the channel. And so It's
and that
it's
is
hit or
captivating,
miss.
Isn't it?
Oh my gosh! And I'm like this poor, and they show like one cow, and they'll be selling like 300 that look like it. Like that's the cattle auction, yeah. It's ridiculous. The other thing that they have on RFD is hilarious. It is called, and I haven't seen it in a long time, and I hope it's still on. It's called, they have a polka dance show. Yes, I said that.
On RFD?
You heard it right. On RFD. It is a bunch of elders that dance the polka, and it's like the Polka Joe Show, I believe is what it's called. Google that, Jennifer, and get me the real name, because I think it's really close to that. The other thing that they always have on is a campfire cookout, and it's a guy that it shows him like cooking campfire things, meals, but the problem is he doesn't really have a staff to help him, so he'll be standing in front of the camera, like in front of his little cooking area. And he'll go, okay, now what you need is you need to get the meat. And he will leave the view of the camera and go get something. And like 30 seconds later, come back. It's the weirdest, funniest thing you've ever seen. So where RFD may have some awesome programming, they also lack a little bit in, I don't know if I want to say boundaries of programming. It's like if I could pay for a show on RFD. I could have my own show, and we could do this on TV if we just had enough money.
That is true. That's exactly what happens, actually. You've nailed it on the head. They actually do pay to be on RFD TV.
That makes sense. They must.
Yeah.
Polka show RFD. They've got the Molly B. Polka Party. That is the first one that I found on RFD. The polka, the Big Joe Polka Show. There's more than one, people. The Big Joe Polka Show is the one I was talking about, and I'm not kidding you. It is, apparently in Omaha, Nebraska. It continues to be popular among the estimated 40 million plus households that it runs in. And you can find... Oh, my God, you can buy a polka cassette. Yeah.
See, even baby Luke thought that was fun. See, he wants a polka cassette.
I'm going to play that in his crib. Maybe he'll sleep.
Hey, you know, it's too bad we're not going to be in Keeneland on April the 13th. Because approximately 25 of the retired and active female jockeys, including those who were first allowed to ride in 1969, will be at a dinner. It's called the Horses of Hope Pink Day. So they're going to be at the track. It's one of First Lady Jane Beshear's initiatives for breast cancer. And they're going to be at the track all together. It'll be the first time that most of these women have gotten together with names like Julie Crone and Diane Crump. And Rosie will be there. The Pravnik will be there. And Tammy, I can never say her last name. I can never say her last name. But they're all going to be there together, and they're going to be doing this dinner together as well. So you're going to have some of the best and longest female jockeys out there. We'll be there.
You know what else is going on at Keeneland? That's awesome, by the way, is that apparently if you were only going to be there. Stop screaming. That's the other thing he does besides say dada is he's learned how to scream. Sorry.
Oh, no.
That's really fun. I'm having a great morning. So I think on – possibly April 11th. Is that the same day you were just talking about?
This is April 13th, actually.
Oh, well, then let's make it a weekend at Keeneland because April 11th, potentially, Wise Dan is coming back, baby. Wise Dan is making his first potential start of the year. They're thinking the 11th or April 19th. Either way, we're not going to see him run that day. We're at Keeneland. But Wise Dan is jogging now, and he had his first work, so he's back at it.
Now, the other thing, too, that I wanted to mention here, where is this? Oh, this is for all the Hunger Games fans out there. Speaking of TV,
yes.
It's kind of a TV kind of day. All the Hunger Games fans out there, and I know there's a lot of you, and, of course, I'm a huge Hunger Games fan, and Jennifer as well. Well, Like Discovery hasn't done enough weird programming, they have decided to add a Hunger Games-like reality adventure series. It's called Survival Live. Now, we've had enough survival shows, right? I mean, there's naked survival shows. There's all kinds of survival shows. Well, this one's adding a twist to it because they're going to drop eight people in. Well, it doesn't say that. See, I thought that's where they were going with this at first, but apparently not. They're going to drop eight people in the middle of the jungle, and the and then they have to survive on their own for like 60 days or whatever. But the difference with this one is you will be able to go onto the website and follow their progress 24/7. They're going to be filmed all the time. So you'll be able to go on the website and follow them. Yeah, like in Hunger Games, like everybody would watch them do their thing in Hunger Games. Well, that's what's going to happen here. So Discovery is kicking it up a notch with their programming and weird programming.
Do people get voted out and their fire gets put out and, like, you are the weakest link goodbye, like that kind of thing? Or is it just all of these
yes,
and whoever likes?
Yes, apparently at the end of each week, one will get voted out of the jungle. And I think by that time, most people want out of the jungle. But, 42 days they're going to be forced to fend for themselves. Apparently they'll be giving, like, nothing when they go in.
Oh, that sucks.
But you know what bothers me about this whole thing? This is what's always bothered me about these shows. Is there's an entire frickin', you know how many camera people and production people it takes to put on a show like this? There's like 100 people there with them. So are you telling me that nobody hands them a candy bar at some time or another?
And I wondered that too when Survivor was on, if like these people that are behind the camera, like you see these emaciated, starving contestants and the guy behind the camera is like, this Snickers sure is satisfying. You know, like are they eating in front of him?
I know. I think that they're getting handed stuff all the time. I mean, bribery happens, I'm sure, at these shows. And that's what has always bothered me, is you always got the – and then the other thing that's always bothered me about these adventure shows and things like that is you see the star climbing the mountain and everything and how difficult it is for the star to climb this mountain and to do this and to do that. The camera guy's got to do the same thing with the camera.
Yes, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And I always think of the Survivor going back to bribery. Like, there's, like, ridiculously scantily clad, attractive women. And there's, like, the camera guy who probably didn't leave his mom's basement until he was 25. And you're going to tell me those chicks can't get those dudes to do things for them? Come on. No way.
I know exactly. I know. Yeah, well, we'll see how that show does. After seeing the best April Fool's joke ever yesterday from Mary Skitzmiller about Rodeo Girls and her being the newest contestant on Rodeo Girls, I was wondering if Rodeo Girls was going to be coming back for season two, and I did some research, and it kind of looks like they might be, believe it or not. It actually got a pretty good listenership, Rodeo Girls.
Somebody I was wondering it. if they, because we talked about it so much before the first episode, and I know that they had three episodes in the can, if there was just going to be no more episodes. I mean, was there only three? So they actually had a whole first season?
Yes, they did six. They did six in the first season. But apparently somebody actually watched it.
It's going to be on RFD next year. Pay to put it on.
And they'll be doing polka in between barrel racing rounds.
Yeah.
That's funny.
The big Joel polka show.
Jennifer, we have our contestant, but we don't have our celebrity, huh?
Not just yet. The celebrity, I think, is getting warmed up. He might be in the green room still. We'll cross our fingers that he'll be getting in touch with us shortly.
Let's check,
do the commercial.
I already did. We're kind of out of commercials. So do you want to do a commercial for something else? What's that?
The Equity commercial? You already did that?
Well, I figured we'd do that with Joseph. I mean, he is the creator of the Equity, right?
Well, if he's not here, he doesn't get to participate.
Jennifer, can you check and see if you have a phone number on him, too? Maybe you can give him a call. But,
I do have something cool. 72 countries now for the World Equestrian Games. 72 countries have entered. And I was going through the different countries to see, you know, this is a whole bunch of countries that have horse sports. But definitely the most popular horse sports are jumping, the jumpers, and the, it looks like what would be the endurance. Those two, to me, look like the most popular, and I scrolled down, and you can see that they've actually got 41 entries for jumpers and 40 entries for endurance, while eventing has 23, 15 for the driving, and dressage has 28, I believe. So really cool. So countries with teams, countries with individuals, it's really neat. And to see some of these countries, like the country Oman. What do you think the only equestrian sport Oman is going to have?
I would guess endurance, because they all do endurance.
Ding, ding, ding. You are correct.
Yeah.
You are correct. Now, Romania, the home of small, tiny gymnasts, only has one single solitary competitor. Only one. Can you guess what sport that single competitor is going to be in?
Of Romania?
Yeah.
It has to be vaulting because they're good at gymnastics.
I would have guessed that too, but it is the jumpers. And then we head over to Thailand. To Thailand has one lone competitor. Guess the sport. You'll never guess. I might as well.
I'll never guess. Raining.
No. You would not think that in Thailand they would be known for their dressage, but no, that's endurance too. That's endurance too, everybody. The only ones that have individuals. Oh, the country of Georgia has a dressage rider. Let's see. India has a jumper. Let's see, another individual.
The whole country
Latvia.
Of India only has one?
Only one single solitary rider. The Virgin Islands of the U.S. has an individual. I don't know what sport that is. I think it's dressage. And then I'm going by the little pictures that they have. They don't actually say which ones they are. And then, let's see, the whole entire country of El Salvador has a jumper rider. One, sadly. The Ukraine, hoping that the Ukraine is still there. They've got an eventer, a team of jumpers, and Ukraine also has a team of dressage riders. So hopefully they'll still be able to go. The drivers, I know this interests you, do come from, really, they've got teams in Australia, Austria, Belgium, Czech Republic, Spain, France has a driving team, England, Germany. An individual driver comes from Italy. That's the person you should talk to. Italian driver.
This week on the Driving Radio Show, if you want to hear a fascinating interview, we had a fun one. We had the guy on who runs a business called Coaching in Bavaria. Bavaria, Germany, in the Alps. He will actually take you on drives through the Alps where you go for like 5-7 days, and go on this big coaches, and you pull by 5 horses through the Alps, and you stay at little inns and places along the way. It just sounded like the best trip ever. Stop for lunch, and then you stop at these inns in the evening, and you drink, and you eat, and then you get out, and you get the horses ready for the next day, and you're actually driving through the mountains like that. It looks so cool.
And where is this?
This is in Bavaria, in Germany, right at the edge of the Alps.
Looking. The individual Slovakian may want to go. The Slovakian who will be doing the driving in the World Equestrian Games. Again, but that's pretty impressive, 72 countries.
Well, that's more than we had in 2010, I think, because they don't have to travel as far, so it's easier for them to get to France. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun covering that, but we are all set and ready to go, and we are going to, let me see here, later.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener, willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
That's right. It's that time of the week when we pit an equestrian celebrity against one of our listeners in a three-round trivia game. And this week, and some people might be asking why we have him on as a celebrity, because anybody that has used one of his Midor forks considers him a celebrity, and that's Joseph Berto. Good morning, Joseph.
Hey, good morning there, Glenn.
And Joseph has a real job, too. You know, he does these manure forks, but he also has one of the coolest jobs in the world, right next to Jamie's husband, who flies F-16. Joseph flies helicopters. So, I mean, that just, in my book, makes you extra cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me that both Jamie's husband and I are involved in the aviation industry, and both of our wives are absolutely passionate about horses. And personally, I think there's got to be something special about that combination. Maybe it's just both of us understand the other person. But, yeah, flying the helicopters
hot.
On – sorry.
Because you're hot.
Because you're hot, Joseph. Let's be honest.
I think we're going to have to we're going to have to change the name of the challenge this morning from the celebrity challenge to the challenge celebrity.
Joseph, anything new in the world of the manure forks?
Not so much in the manure fork. I've been playing quite a bit with a new idea that has to do with farming and ranching and collecting manure, but that's still a ways out. But this time of year, we more sort of focus on the sand sifting side of the shake and fork, shake and rake business. A lot of people don't realize that these forks have an alter ego in the summertime, where anytime you need to sift debris out of sand, these are now turning into the go-to product, whether that's like golf course bunkers or even people that have a sandbox and a cat. We know all about cats, right?
Oh, no, Joseph. Do you know what my fork does in the summertime? Is it collects oranges off the trees is what it does in my house.
I can't reach
the top oranges. And
I've
they're
heard
sharp.
Oranges.
The trees are sharp.
I've heard oranges. I've heard people that are doing almonds, olives, all kinds of different uses. There's one guy that uses them to sift the debris out of concrete. So, you know, when we invented it, it was kind of a one-focus deal, but then the oil spill down in Alabama, Mississippi, the BP oil spill happened, and we got used down there with the screen version, and that opened our mind up that, wow, maybe it needs to be bigger than just the horse industry.
Well, Joseph, what are we giving away today?
Today I'm giving away whoever wins. If it's me, I'm giving away a manure fork of either a flexion fork or a standard tine fork to the Rescue Ranch. That's RES-Q-Ranch. That's located here in White City, an incredibly hardworking woman that is passionate about saving horses. And if the challenge celebrity loses, then the winner would get their choice of flexion fork, either standard or mini tine.
Very good. Well, let's find out who you're going to be playing against. And today, our listener that you're going to be playing against, name is Mary Lynn Carpenter, and she is from Sheridan, Indiana. Good morning, Mary Lynn.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us here this morning. Tell us, do you ride? What's your story?
Yes, I do. I have three horses that I keep at home. One is retired, and two I ride. I trail ride and compete in obstacle course competitions.
Oh, cool. Very good. Are they all quarter horses? Or?
No. Two are gated horses, and one is a half Arabian.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Boy, that's wonderful our forks with three horses.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, it would come in handy.
It would.
And you know what? An Arabian doing obstacle, you're going to do them faster than anybody else.
There's a funny trivia thing for you here, Mary Lynn, that if you have three horses, did you know that you're picking up about, 3,500 manure balls a day?
Ah, that's why my back hurts.
Yeah, and if you have a broken tine in your fork, you can imagine out of 3,500 manure balls a day, some percentage of those are going to fall through. And that's why the false economy of I'm going to have a cheapy fork just doesn't work when you have that much that you have to do a day. There's some trivia for you.
Thank you.
There's nobody that knows more about poop than Joseph.
Yeah, it's right.
Jot it down. I hope there are some poop questions in here, Jennifer, because he'll at least get those right. You know, he's a little worried about getting any of your questions right. Well, we'll find out today. Jamie is going to join us here, and we'll explain how this all works. And I do have the regular buzzer today because I thought the last couple of weeks we've been using the whip sound effect for wrong answers. I thought that was a little harsh. So we're going back. We're using the high school basketball buzzer, so and then the bell for the correct answer.
Now, the way that this works, you guys, I'm going to ask Mary Lynn a question, and then I'm going to ask Joseph a question, and we're going to go back and forth until we get to the tiebreaker if we need it. And when we do get to the tiebreaker, I will explain then how that works. But right now, we're just going to go question to question. And Mary Lynn, you are first. Are you ready to start?
Yes.
Okay. No Googling. You know, you kind of have to be on your honor here. But the question, first one is
multiple choice.
So you have 5 seconds to answer. According to the American Horse Council, what percentage of the 203,000 horses in Indiana are involved in recreational or show riding? Is it A, 25%, B, 65%, or C, 80%?
C, 80%.
That's right. Wow.
That is correct. Quick. Good answer. I don't know if I would have guessed that, but then you realize it's recreational or show riding, so 80% of the horses are used, which means 20% of the horses are very, very bored. Joseph, we head to you. It is 0-1. Got to get this to keep a tie. According to a 2005 American Horse Council study, and multiple choice is here, what percentage of the 9.2 million horses in the U.S. are used for racing? Is it A, under 10%, B, about 50%, or C, over 75%?
I'm going to have to guess the smallest, so under 10%.
That's correct.
Oh, good.
You're right.
And I've been dreading the sound of that. I've been dreading the sound of the high school basketball buzzer. I played basketball back then, and you have no idea what kind of fear that thing brings up if you're the bench sitter.
Chills, Joseph. I get it, too. I had to play for years, and he'd make that noise, and I'm like, oh, I got to sub in.
Exactly. That was exactly what I was. I was in fear that I was going to get subbed in, not that I wasn't going to get called. So, yeah, it's a terrible sound. I'd rather have the whip.
Absolutely, me too.
You know, I was a wrestler, guys. That meant I was getting pinned. So,
it was bad all around.
You heard that a lot.
I did.
And we go to Mary Lynn. Mary Lynn, this is also a multiple choice question. The word pony has many meanings. So, in the multiple choice question that I'm going to give you, which is the following is not a definition of the word pony? Is it A, part of a plant, B, a small drinking glass, or C, a cheat sheet?
That's a toughie.
I'm going to have to 33%, man, because I didn't know this one either.
I'm going to go with C.
There's your buzzer, Joseph. I'm so sorry. The answer to that question is A, part of a plant, and this is where I insert. If you do not like these questions, you can email Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com to complain, or if she is, in fact, wrong, which
I
never
did
wrong.
Know that a pony was a small drinking glass. I did know that. I didn't know a cheat sheet, but I did know about the small drinking glass. Does that say something about me? I'm not sure. Yeah,
I think Leslie Wiley might have known that one, too.
You know, all I knew was that there's a pony keg. So if you consider a pony keg a small drinking glass, which some might, that's the only one that I knew, another definition of pony. All right, Joseph, you've got choices as well, multiple choice. In June of this year, a disgruntled horse owner, in protest of new taxes on horsemen, dumped tons of manure in front of a government building in what country? Is it A, New Zealand, B, France, or C, Canada? Just kidding, Canada.
You know, that's just the kind of thing a Frenchman would do. So I'm gonna say France here.
That is exactly right.
You are correct, sir. I do not like
protest
the taxes on the horses. I will put the manure. I don't know. I don't have a French accent. I do. It's awesome. The manure will be in front of the building.
You remember that the Back to the Future movie where McFly on his little skateboard there, he rounded the corner and the guy in the 44 didn't make it and the manure dumped into the back of the car, the Ford?
Yes.
That's always been one of my favorite scenes. And I thought, I wonder how much they had to pay the guy to clean the manure out of the car afterwards.
Well, Joseph, that would be Biff, by the way.
That was Biff.
The guy. Yeah.
Uh-oh, we can tell we've got another Back to the Future lover here.
Absolutely. Number two, not so much. Number one and number three, awesome. Okay.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, same story. Cool.
See, and you married a hot woman, too. God, we're so much alike.
It's good.
Lucas is going to help me with this one here. Let's see. Mary Lynn, the score is tied 1-1. Am I correct there? Is it? No.
No, it's actually 2-1. Joseph has taken the lead.
Joseph has taken the lead. So, Mary Lynn, you've got to get this right, okay? I'm counting on you.
I'm
spell
ready.
The word. Spell the word Gymkhana.
Gymkhana. May I have the definition? No, I'm just kidding.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Can you carry an egg in a spoon?
That's right. Gymkhana. Gymkhana.
That it's phonetically pronounced Gymkhana. Gymkhana, and here in Arizona, everybody calls it Gymkhana. It is Gymkhana.
We would have tied in that one, Mary Lynn. I would have got it wrong, too.
Mary Lynn, we're not going to stop here. I know that technically Joseph has won, but we're just going to put our challenged celebrity to the test. I don't even know what this means. I'm just kidding. Joseph, spell the word Sikorsky.
That's really funny.
I
know
the
where
definition
this
of
came
that?
From. That's Sikorski. It's Igor Sikorsky.
Oh!
What?
Wrong! You are wrong!
Oh, S-I-K-O-R-S-K-Y.
Why? I got it wrong. How do you like that?
Tell Jamie what it is.
Well, Igor Sikorsky, he was one of the fathers of the helicopter, and when I wrote to Glenn about this, it was really funny because some years ago on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the million-dollar question was, who was it who invented the tail rotor on the helicopter? And I'm sitting there yelling at my television because I'm saying, oh, my God. And, of course, the person wasn't into helicopters and had no idea it was Igor Sikorsky. And I said to Glenn, you know, it's really easy when you know the answer. And then, of course, you can know the answer and spell it wrong.
Well, Mary Lynn, sadly, Joseph did win, even though he got the last one wrong. However, I hope that you have enjoyed playing the game today.
Yes, I did. I appreciate the opportunity.
And Mary Lynn, if you have a rescue organization that's near you that you would like to donate a manure fork to in your name, we'd be happy to send one along.
Oh, that would be wonderful. The Indiana Horse Rescue.
There you go. So that'll be a nice consolation prize for playing the game.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
I love Joseph. Peace on Earth. And Joseph, can I just thank you so much again for the photo, the pencil drawing of Zenyatta. I don't know where you got it, but it was absolutely gorgeous. I posted it on our Facebook page for those who didn't get to see it. It's absolutely beautiful, and I just appreciate you thinking of me and the rescues, and Rescue Ranch is going to get a fork, and then the Indiana Horse Rescue is going to get one. So, Mary Lynn, you've done a good deed today. Thank you so much, and Joseph, again, thank you 100 times.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, when we saw that and knowing how much you love Zenyatta, that just popped into to both our heads. And, yes, you were right on your show that my wife was the one that originally saw that, but it was a collaborative effort because I put it into the box, right, so I get some sort of kudos on it.
Yes, you do. Yes, you probably made me take it to the post office, too. So, hey, by the way, yesterday was Zenyatta's birthday, and I wasn't here, so I just want to give a little woo-woo. Zenyatta has birthday, and she's about to have her baby. I'm standing by.
Mary Lynn, hold on. We're going to have Jennifer talk to you and get the information about the rescue you want that to go to. And, Joseph, thank you so much for donating both of them, and I'm sure both rescues will really appreciate it. Before you go, though, Joseph, I noticed on Facebook, because I had reposted the video of you whacking the fork, doing your product testing in the most scientific way possible by taking the fork and putting it over your head and just smashing it on a piece of concrete. And there were a couple comments that were kind of funny. Well, first of all, Lisa said, where can I find one? I just broke a tine today. Well, Lisa, you go to equitymfg.com and do not buy any one of those crappy ones ever again. And then Scott Thomas said, ha, 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 if we did that with one of our made-in-China POS forks, we'd be watching a plastic eruption on the first hit. And that is true because you actually tested those too.
Yeah, we have a video that's out. It's on YouTube. It says many manure forks are junk. Here's one that isn't. And we took the standard one that you can go down to your local tractor supply, whatever, and buy. And we would strike them on the ground. And the one fork that's in that video, we used that same fork for the entire video. It actually never broke, even after we were bending the tines into pigtails and so on. And the other fork, we went through a dozen forks that day. Every single time on the first strike, they would shatter. So that's not something that we recommend people to do, but it is funny that we test forks to destruction, which is why I always tell Glenn that eventually everything breaks. But what we hope to do is provide something that exceeds an expectation of what the consumer thinks that it will do. And we're getting so many forks out there now that it's really the ultimate test. And if we had a bad fork, we'd know it, because in 7 years, there's an awful lot of them out there now.
You know, and yeah, I know you bust our chops all the time because we always say they're indestructible, and then you contact me after and say, you shouldn't be saying that. We do it anyway because we don't listen very well. And I 2 years I've had mine, and it's just I haven't had any trouble at all in 2 years. One of those tines is bent at all, and we use it every day. And we clean the paddocks. And here in Florida, we have the live oak trees, and the live oak trees have these silly little tiny roots that go along the top of the ground.
Yeah.
And they're just tight. These great big huge trees that have these tiny little roots that go along the top of the ground, and your fork always gets stuck in them. And we were breaking so many forks, but we have not broken this. And I don't care what you say. I still think they're indestructible, but that's just me.
Well, you and Jamie you've coined some terrific terms. And one of the things we actually hear more from the dog people, because we sell the mini tine version as a pooper scoop fork. But we use the flicking term all the time, because that's where people just can't get over that when you try to weave the manure or the dog's business out of the grass, it doesn't flick. We don't know why that particularly is, but the other thing that you invented was the suspension system, and that the fork has a suspension. And even if you ride one of the old kind of bicycles that doesn't have a suspension, and then you get on a modern bicycle that has a suspension on it, how much more comfortable it is to use, that's the same thing with the flexion fork. And until you actually use one and you see the way that it conforms to the ground and you don't have to be raising the handle up and down, having a suspension just makes a huge difference. And it's funny, we hear – sorry, Jamie, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, look at us, Jamie. We're inventors.
Yeah, you're inventors of terminology to describe the product. And Julie Goodnight, you know, she used industrial, and I don't know that I've ever heard industrial used with our fork, but she did the nicest job in describing our forks. And she
That's
buys them.
10 times classier than we are. That's
well, she buys the things. She doesn't. It's not like we give them to them. And so many people, when they want to talk about something, they want something for free. And Julie, she's just a regular customer. And for her to come on board and then, you know, be talking about them, and she's had them from the very beginning. She bought one at a show a very long time ago. So she's been wonderful. Yeah.
Well, Joseph, thank you so much again. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks a lot for letting me play the game. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Equity,
and Mary Lynn,
MSP.com.
Yeah, and if Mary Lynn's listening, she can. Joseph is kind enough to every once in a while give them away on a Friday for a really bad ad. So start reading Craigslist, people, and get your ads in, and we'll be giving one away soon. I'm sure it's coming around again. So that's how you can get one. But, you know, you get what you pay for, and if you're going to buy a cheap one, you're going to get a cheap product. But if you buy a good one, you get a good product.
Speaking of prizes, this week's really bad ad prize is a $25 gift certificate from EquestrianCollections.com. Who can't use that? Get your ads into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com and put really bad ads in the subject line, and make sure you copy the entire ad and put it in the body of the email, because you can't just send a link because they go dead. So send that over, $25 gift certificate for EquestrianCollections.com. This week on Really Bad Ads. Now, I will not be here on Friday. Jamie and Jennifer are holding down the fort. I'm going to be going off to a special project, which I can talk about next week. But Wendy and I are traveling. That's all I'm going to say on Friday. If you want to hear that show we talked about driving in Bavaria, head over to the Driving Radio Show. The guy was absolutely fascinating, and it's just really neat to know you can still do something. You would love this. The one thing in Germany, and especially Bavaria, in the area they are in, is all of the farmers' lanes are considered public property. And by law, you can ride your horses on them or drive your carriages on them without asking permission.
That's awesome.
You can drive and ride forever and not have to ask permission on any of the farmer lanes. Isn't that cool?
That is awesome. That is awesome. Hey, just so you guys know, to keep little man Lucas quiet during the show, I was feeding him food, and it had blueberries in it. And I would now like to announce that I've got to go clean up blueberry spit up off of my off-white carpet, because he has now thrown up the blueberries on the carpet. So I'm going to take off.
You know what? Let me ask you a question, Jamie, vegetarian, eat everything healthy girl. When he ate the chips, did he throw up?
He did not. He did not.
Ah, there it is. Give him chips. He won't throw up. Give him healthy crap. He throws up every time.
Exactly. The organic blueberry banana, apparently puree, that I just fed him was not good enough, but give him some Lay's potato chips. He'll hold it down like a champ. Ridiculous.
He is going to be such a boy. He is going to be sneaking off to his friends' houses and eating everything in sight after living with you. You know that.
Over my
happen,
dead
right?
body.
His dad
will eat organic vegetarianism.
McDonald's. His dad will be taking him to McDonald's when you are not looking. Oh, we're just going out. We're going to go out to the park, and they'll be at McDonald's. You'll find them.
Don't you dare use the M word in front of me. Okay? How dare you?
What's going to happen? Find links to today's guest on the show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. Don't forget also to download the free app, iPhone or Android. Just search for it on the App Store on your phone, iPhone or Android. It's free, it's easy to use, and it's the best way to listen to the shows. That's it. We'll have a recorded show for you tomorrow, and then back here live on Friday morning. Take care, everybody. Have a terrific day.
Say, Neuter Guild. Have a great one.